Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What would you do if you were king or queen for a day? I imagine that's either a question that you've been asked before just for the fun of imagining, or something that you have thought about yourself, kind of like sometimes we might think about what would we do with the millions of dollars if we won the sweepstakes? We all have a mental picture about what royalty is supposed to look like and act like. We've read about kings and queens from medieval times in our history books. We've seen them illustrated in paintings or brought to life on the big screen. Lavish crowns and jewelry, the richest of clothes, heads held high and proud, mounted on tall and stately steeds, a host of attendants waiting on their every beck and call, subjects bowing before them and kissing their hands or their rings. Often a king wields supreme power, and everyone in the land must obey him. He can have whatever he wants, whenever he wants it. Even if what he wants is not morally right, no one usually dares to question his command at the risk of losing their own life. So in that pattern of earthly kings, what would you do if you were king for a day? Well, I would probably pay off all my debts, buy a nice new house, a few nice new cars, perhaps. I would indulge all of my desires and ride around showing off my newfound wealth and prestige. I would pattern myself after our modern-day royalty, movie stars and sports stars, those for whom the highest attainments in life are to be popular, to have the biggest houses, to have the most expensive cars and the best clothes and the richest of food, all in a competition to prove who is the best, who is the most successful. But in contrast to all of those ideas that we or the world might have about the majesty and splendor of kings and other powerful people of the world, Jesus, the King of Kings, comes riding into his capital city, not clothed in the royal purple robes of his day, not mounted on a high and mighty horse, or riding in a chariot drawn by horses and surrounded by soldiers, not with a spectacular procession of an honor guard and soldiers in uniform, not with a herald to go before him and to announce his coming, but rather simply dressed, riding on a humble donkey, on a dusty road covered with peasants' cloaks and with palm branches rather than a red carpet, with a crowd of commoners as his heralds and 12 disciples, most of whom were fishermen, as his only honor guard. Some in the crowd did sing his praises, because they had seen the miracles that he had done before. But others in Jerusalem wondered, who is this? Why are you folks making such a big deal about this one man who doesn't really appear to be very important of a person at all? Well, the answer that they received from other people in the crowd would hardly have convinced them of Jesus' importance. The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Yeah, right. Those other people in the crowd must have thought, much in the same way that Nathanael reacted when Philip told him about Jesus initially. When Philip told Nathanael that Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, Nathanael replied, can anything good come from there? And the Pharisees reacted to Nicodemus in a similar way. Look into it. You will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee. What would your reaction have been if you had been there that day? Well, we like to think that we would have been among those who believed in Jesus and who heralded his entry into Jerusalem with shouts of praise and waving of palm branches and putting our own cloaks down in his path. But would we have been? He looked so ordinary, so absolutely common. Is he really the glorious Messiah that God had promised long ago to our forefathers? I thought the Messiah was supposed to bring glory back to God's people, to restore our homeland, and to bring glory back to Jerusalem. But why are the Romans still here occupying our city? Why do they still oppress us and overtax us? The Messiah is supposed to get rid of all of those foreign oppressors and to set us free. But this Jesus doesn't appear to care very much about politics at all. And he looks just like another ordinary guy. Would the humble appearance of Jesus have caused you to stumble and led you to doubt? Or maybe you would have been among those who were there on that day and believed in him and welcomed him with praises, with shouts of Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But would your opinion have changed as you watched Jesus throughout the course of the subsequent week? He was there in Jerusalem, but he was most definitely not setting up an earthly kingdom for himself. Instead, the very opposite happened. He got arrested. He was put on trial. He was mocked and beaten and whipped and bloodied and spat upon. He received a very different kind of crown than the royal gold one that you were hoping he would put on. The crown that he received was made of thorns that pierced his skin as soldiers pressed it down onto his head. And then to top it all off, you saw him crucified, a criminal's death, the most humiliating, shameful, and accursed way that a person could die. Would you still have been proudly shouting his praises then? Or would you have joined with those others in the crowd who were shouting for his death? Would you have walked past him as he hung upon the cross and hurled insults at him along with the rest of the crowd that day? Well, enough wondering about the past. What about right now? Are you ever just a little bit ashamed about your king who came in such weakness? Are you ever a little bit embarrassed to talk about how your king made his triumphal entry riding on a donkey? About how he let himself suffer and die and be humiliated in such a terrible way? Are you embarrassed when you talk about your faith and you share these things? Are you embarrassed when you have to explain that although your King Jesus is the all-powerful Lord of the universe, he will not fulfill all of your desires for wealth and health and success here and now? Do you ever begin to wonder yourself whether he really is the king when you just can't seem to catch a break in life and things sometimes just seem to be getting worse and worse for you? He was so weak when he was here on earth. Is he really able to help me now? Well, the prophet Zechariah spoke words of comfort from God to people who were in the midst of suffering and who were having very similar doubts to those just mentioned. The city of Jerusalem had been utterly destroyed by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar in the year 586 BC. The walls of the city had been torn down. All the treasures were looted from the king's palace and from the Lord's temple. And those and many other buildings had been torn down and burned to the ground. Nebuchadnezzar had taken the last king of Jerusalem and Judah into captivity in Babylon, along with all the soldiers and all the important people of the land. Finally, after decades of captivity in Babylon, A new king, Cyrus, allowed the captives to return to Judah and to go back to their homeland of Jerusalem. They tried to rebuild out of the ruins of Jerusalem, but the people of the lands around them kept giving them trouble. And the small group of the Jews that was there in Jerusalem managed to finally rebuild the foundation of the temple, but they just couldn't seem to make any more progress beyond that. They were without a leader, without a king. But then Zechariah prophesied to them about a glorious king who would come in the future and reign over God's people once again. But this king would not be like the kings that they had had before they went into exile. This king would be righteous and would reign with justice according to the will of the Lord. Unlike so many of the wicked kings of Judah's past, he would come with salvation, victorious over the enemies of God's people. He himself would never be conquered, and he would see to it that no one ever harms God's people. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His kingdom of peace would not just be for the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, for those of Abraham's direct bloodline, but his kingdom of peace will be for all nations. It will extend over the whole world. It will be more than just a political peace. It will be a lasting peace of body and soul that reigns for all eternity. Undoubtedly, the people living in the ruins of Jerusalem at that time who heard that prophecy of God through Zechariah, undoubtedly they longed for that prophecy to be fulfilled, for that day to come when this perfect king would come and fulfill all of those promises. But those people did not see that prophecy fulfilled in their lifetimes, nor did their children or grandchildren. In fact, this prophecy waited for more than 500 years to be fulfilled. 500 years later, John the Baptizer went ahead of Jesus, pointing the people of the time to Jesus, saying, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And many people followed him. They saw Jesus' wondrous miracles and heard his powerful teaching. They saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. They heard Jesus' message of repentance, forgiveness, and salvation. And so they came out in large crowds on the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. They hailed him as Savior, as the King, the descendant of David, who was promised long ago, the true and rightful heir of David's throne, who would save his people and establish his kingdom of peace over all peoples throughout all the earth for all eternity. Brothers and sisters, join with those crowds in shouting loud hosannas to the King. Jesus, yes, this Jesus riding on a donkey is the Savior whom God had promised. This Jesus, whom we will see suffering and dying this Holy Week, is the Lord and King of heaven and earth. Though he dies in lowliest humility, he rises in most exalted glory. The salvation that he accomplished by his death and resurrection has washed us free from all of our sins, including our sins of doubting his power and his grace. Though at times we might be ashamed of him and ashamed of his weakness and the trouble that he permits in our lives, he has never been ashamed of us in spite of all of our weaknesses. He has covered over us and our sins with his righteousness. He has credited his perfection to us in the sight of God. And he has conquered all of our enemies and established a kingdom of peace for us, in which he reigns over all things for our good. Even though we might not always feel that he is reigning over things for our good or be aware of it, because things are not always peaceful in this life. But the peace that Jesus has established for us is more important than earthly peace and security. Jesus has given us peace with God through the forgiveness of our sins, peace that will last for all eternity, right now and forever in heaven. So raise your voices today in loud hosannas. Your King comes. Watch your King this Holy Week as he conquers our enemies of sin, death, and the devil, and as he establishes his eternal kingdom of peace for us. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.